Pikachu, Pika Pika, Chica Pika 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 Pikachu, Pika 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 Pika.
So I was joking with a friend about how Indigo League, the original series, kind of the vibe it has and always kind of had for me. This kind of weird mix of, like, flying by the seat of their pants, like, we don't really know what this world is, we're just having fun, mixed with, like, an almost strangely intuitive, like, heavy world building. Like, it was just kind of a wild mix, a fun show based on a game property, and, like, it just had a beautiful chaos to it, compared to other seasons, which may be a little more controlled, or at least more controlled chaos. And I was describing it like, in my opinion, I felt like Indigo League is that feeling when you're a teenager and your parents have left you home overnight for the first time. They've decided that you are old enough to, like, feed yourself dinner and put yourself to bed. So they've left you home for the first time and you're, like, so excited and you're gonna live wild exactly how you want to and get into so much trouble. Even though, honestly, getting into trouble is like maybe renting a PG-13 movie from the local Blockbuster, and your dinner that night is nothing but Oreos and Sobe Life Water. That's Indigo League. Like, that's the vibe. And you can definitely chime in with your own ideas on whether or not that fits your vibe of what it felt like to be watching Indigo. But I started thinking, how would I describe the other seasons of Pokemon using that vein? And so I decided that the Orange Islands League is basically the second time your parents leave you alone. Like, it's mostly the same thing, except now you, like, are a little older and you, like, want people to see you as responsible. So, like, you add a vegetable in with those Oreos and the Sobe Life Water. But otherwise, it's basically the same thing. And I decided Johto is that feeling where you're, like, in high school and it's, like, 11th grade, maybe even the beginning of senior year, where it's, like, you're kind of in that peak teenager land where you've got, like, a bit more freedom and you're almost an adult. You're making big decisions about your future and, like, your whole life is spread before you, like, an open road, and, like, there's just the world, like, you are, like, banging on the door to the big wide world outside of your parents' house and high school, but also, like, you're constantly being nagged by your guidance counselor who wants you to, like, map out a roadmap and get your life together. And you still have to sit through, like, hours and hours of boring class. To me, that is Johto. Love it, but... Hoenn now, baby. You are on your own. You have, like, left high school. You are, like, a quote adult. You are wilding out there like just a total hot mess and loving it. Your diet is, like, 90% gummy bears and, like, you stay up way too late. But, you know you're not really functioning at the highest level, but, like, you're having a blast and, like, why should anyone stop you? Sinnoh region rolls around, you're a little older, but you're still a young adult, and you're trying to, like, look into stable jobs. You're trying to be a little more responsible and, like, get a handle on this, like, adulting thing. And for the most part, you're getting it together. For the most part, like, life is starting to get pretty good and pretty stable, and it's still exciting. But you also have this, like, psycho ex-stalker boyfriend that, like, is gonna burn down your house. That's the vibe of Sinnoh, which leads directly into Unova, which is like, you just dip out of life for a minute, you go on a backpacking tour through Europe, you are done with everything, and you are just taking some me time to focus on me. Everyone tells you it's the worst decision you have ever made, but, like, you honestly do not care. You are healing and... and happy and innocent and wide-eyed and bushy-tailed. You think some of the friends you met at the youth hostel are, like, maybe trying to overthrow the government? You're not sure, but, like, otherwise, this is the best decision you've ever made. So after Unova, we come back to Kalos. Like, we've rejoined a civilization again. We're back to being responsible, and now we are, like, 30, flirty, and thriving. We can handle our lives. We can also be fun and spontaneous. We have balanced this mature, yet fun-loving life that we have always wanted. We still kind of have that psycho stalker ex, but this time we burned down his house. That is the Kalos region. So Alola happens, we have burned down our ex's house, we decide to dip off on a vacation to Hawaii. Even though we are explicitly on vacation, for some reason our boss keeps trying to call us about work-related matters and send us work emails. We respond by throwing our phone in the ocean. Which leads us to Pokemon Journeys, where I've got restraining orders against all my stalker exes. I got a fire extinguisher in one hand and a Molotov cocktail in the other if they try to start something. I'm moving forward in my career. All my previous jobs write me killer reference letters. My life is pretty darn good. So that's where I ended up with Seasons of Your Life as illustrated by the Pokemon anime. Definitely write in and tell me where you are on that timeline, or how you see the vibes you get from various Pokemon seasons. Anyway, this is a Pokemon anime podcast, if you couldn't tell. Hi, my name is Anne. I am your host. And what we do on this show, PCAPI Podcast, is go through every episode of the Pokemon anime from start to finish. And right now, we are in Advanced Generation number 80. That's just Swellow. What I'm going to do here is recap the episode and go through it with basically the exact level of attention as I just did recapping every season as a whole, like relating it to our personal lives and thinking way too hard about things that do not matter, because that's what it is to be a fan, I guess. That's what it is to be a nerd. So let us get into it. The episode opens and the kids are hiking through some sort of mountain woody landscape, and they stop at a scenic little overlook to feel the breeze, admire the view. They're near to this little town, and while they're there, they see this beautiful blue Swablu, the blue bird Pokemon with the wings that are actual clouds. But then a strong gust of wind knocks Swablu from the sky, and it plummets to the ground, and one might hope it would right itself. It is a flying Pokemon, light as a cloud, but it doesn't. So it's in trouble, and Ash calls out Talo to help it. So Talo catches Swablu and brings it back safely to the ground. Swablu does have a trainer. They weren't too far away, and they come running over, grateful that someone was able to help their Pokemon. This trainer is named Shane, and he teaches the kids about the Poke Ringer contest being held in his town. This is what he and Swablu were out here training for, and we see that Swablu has this colorful little ring in its beak. And the goal of Poke Ringing is for the flying Pokemon to be the first one to grab a ring and to put it on a goalpost, a bit of capture the flag-like rules. And of course, the Pokemon battle in the sky to prevent each other from getting to the rings first and stealing rings from each other and the like, which is how all my games of Capture the Flag tend to go. Like, why bother grabbing the flag and running around when you can just tackle your brothers and sisters and your classmates and knock them to the ground so they can't get up and chase you, and then you can walk leisurely with the flags. So, that's how I play. I didn't always want to be played with. It's a pretty big sport around here, though, and Shane plans to enter the next contest with Swablu, and today is the day the whole competition begins. Ash is very startled to hear this. I get the feeling he wants to participate. And it's a bit like hearing there's a pop quiz you haven't studied for. Although in Ash's case, if there's Pokemon in any sort of competition, like, he's the student who loves the pop quiz. So May also wants to enter in this particular case, so she and Beautifly will give it a whirl, and Ash will enter with Talo. And the winners around these here parts are pretty celebrated. The competition opens by showing pictures of all the previous winners and their Pokemon, and the winner gets to become an honorary citizen of the town for life. If, you know, they're not from there already, which many of them are. I wonder if the winners are expected to vote sign up for jury duty and community volunteer work. And anyway, this will actually be Shane's first time competing, but that's okay. A lot of the competition winners were also first-time Poke Ringers. He doesn't think it's a reason not to enter, or for Ash and May to not enter. Like, no gatekeeping here. Something that does make Shane a bit more nervous, though, is his teamwork with Swablu. He's only just caught it, so they haven't had quite a lot of time to build a rapport yet. But he still thinks they'll win, because he's determined. So, remember a couple episodes ago where May only barely caught Bulbasaur and decided to compete with it anyway because she believed in their teamwork and was, like, real determined and believed in herself? And everyone was like, step off, May, you're too determined, you're doing it all wrong, like, how dare you, hubris. And I got really mad. Apparently it's all okay now. It's different when the boys do it. The kids all resolve to do their best, regardless of previous experience, and they want to have a great time. Team Rocket, meanwhile, is nearby, wondering how anyone could have a great time at a competition where the only thing you win is, like, respect. Basically. But James has a different perspective. He trained under a champion Poke Ringer in his youth. Mummy and Daddy spared no expense. And we get a flashback, and hoo boy, he is straitjacketed in that exercise equipment. I mean, his muscles have got to be just like coiled springs to pull against all those coiled springs. Like, I think it's fair to say that James has probably not maintained that physique. He's kind of a noodle now, but like, baby James must have been pretty buff. Does James have a flying Pokemon? No. But Jesse has Dustox, so this'll work. James rarely gets this fired up about anything. Like, Jesse and Meowth find it kind of disturbing, but he is like, I am going to enter this contest and I'm going to make my old trainer proud and, like, achieve all the dreams that I left behind, like, all these latent, buried dreams. Jesse and James had a lot of dreams for their futures that got buried along the way, so go off, James. Go get your dream, I guess. So this contest seems to go in flights, and like the winner of one set of four will go fight the winners of the other group of four sort of thing, and progress on until the finals. So it's a relief to May and all of us that none of our mains are fighting each other in the first round. None of our main friends, I should say. Ash is going up against the defending champion, though. He is thrilled. All of his friends have a heart attack. The champion's kind of a douche, though. He's really mean and tells Ash to cry home to his mommy and like, bro, you realize that the majority of competitors in Pokemon, like of any discipline, are youths. Like at the upper echelons, you get all ages. Usually the Elite Fours and the champions are more often than not adults, but like gym leaders are sometimes 10. This guy is an adult, and like, ugh, you should know better. Like, it's like, save your confidence for your, like, bare-chested vest wearing. Like, don't go bringing it in, like, toxic competition vibes, man. It's not a good look. Anyway, a voice behind May and Ash chimes in, like, oh, you think he's a creep? They turn around and it's James. Best entrance ever. No notes. He has pure intentions today. He just wants a Poke Ringer battle. Shane is so confused. Like, his new friends just attract all the weirdos. Since James, or rather, amazing James, King of the Rings, only wants honest competition, Ash and May feel safe to ignore him. Completely. But May will unfortunately be up in James's group. So he banters with her, and this is the first time he's addressed May by name. Like, I was not always sure he knew what it was. And it's freaking weird every time Team Rocket addresses any of the twerps by their actual given names. I'm always like, whoa, I'm not okay with this. Like, that is Ms. Twerp to you, buddy. But May is not the least bit scared of James. It's like, if he's not actively planning to blow something up or kidnap a Pokemon, it's like, whatever, man. So a balloon is released into the sky. It has the ring that the competitors are supposed to retrieve attached to it. And the first block of four trainers step up with their Pokemon at the ready. Shane and Swablu are in this first group, and they're off after a startlingly grating opening buzzer. Like, I almost dropped my laptop. So it's Shane Swablu against a Pelipper, a Wingull, and a Yanma. And at first, Swablu is dodging attacks and seems to be focused in on the ring. But then Shane tells it the wind is picking up and asks it to abandon the ring and climb higher. And that proves to be the right move, since the wind does in fact pick up. So while Shane's training to, like, identify the winds and all that seems to be working for him, the other three Pokemon are buffeted around by the gusts, so that leaves Swablu free and right side up when the wind eases to go straight up and grab the ring. It has no opposition. They have a clear path to the goal, too, so Shane and Swablu take the first round with relative ease. Well done. Ash is next. It's Ash and Talo, but as always, Pikachu is up there for moral support. I mean, he is team captain. And sometimes, since Pikachu often shrieks a lot in battles when he's hanging out in the trainer's box with Ash, I sometimes wonder if he's like, is he translating or backseat driving or just really invested? I'm not sure. Ash doesn't seem to mind the way he sometimes does when Brock and Misty talk during his battles and give him advice. And, you know, since Pikachu is basically an extension of Ash's will, he's probably not saying anything that undermines Ash's decisions or authority. Anyway, Ash and Talo versus the champion and his Volbeat. I forget this dude's name, but I'm not even going to say it because he's a total jerk. Our cowboy champion and his Volbeat, a Golbat, and a Ninjask. That's how important the other two trainers are. Like, I don't think we even get to see their faces up close. The champion calls the three Pokemon out there a joke, which, like, don't you be disrespecting Ninjask on this podcast. In my house, we respect weirdo battle atypical Pokemon. If I have a double battle and I can't use two Magikarp, Ninjask is my next choice. Do I win? No, but that's not the point. Anyway, the champion attempts to knock out the competition with an electric attack. And it works on Golbat and Ninjask, but remember Talo's intro episode? It is surprisingly resilient to electricity. It dodges and pulls away from the carnage. Golbat and Ninjask plummet to the ground, and we see the champion's strategy. He focuses on taking his competition out via battle. Then he has a free shot at the ring, which is aggressive, but completely valid and legal. And it, honestly, it's basically what Shane did, except he let nature do the dirty work. Had a lot less ill will towards his competitors, but the result was the same. A free shot at the ring. But this guy did not count on Talo. When it comes to electricity, Talo is a tank. The champion tries to use Volbeat and to electrocute Talo again, and they succeed in hitting it this time. Talo is definitely thunderbolted, but it perseveres because it is just a freak of nature. I love this Pokemon. Like, I love this specific Talo, like, just for being a wild child out there. Talo isn't blasted out of the sky and is able to stay in the game and grab that ring. Volbeat stays in pursuit, chasing Talo and trying to catch it before Talo makes it to the goal. Its trainer advises it to use Thunder on the ring itself, which is very smart. Talo is immune-ish, but metal in general is not, and Talo is forced to drop that ring when it, you know, gets hit by lightning. So Volbeat swoops in and grabs it. And Talo smashes its competition with Wing Attack. How dare you think that would best me? Straight arms, Volbeat. Oh my. It's, just shout out to Volbeat in general. Like, its trainer is a jerk, but it is trying its best here. And this Volbeat has such great facial expressions. Just pour one out for Volbeat. So, they lose, and Cowboy Man needs to rethink his strategy and consider putting on a shirt. Or not. It is a bold look. Max, by the way, is the most enthused I have ever seen him when Ash wins this. Like, he is on his feet dancing, oh yeah, oh yeah. Hope he gets this excited for May. Anyway, May and James and all the others get into their hot air balloons shaped like Pokemon and float up into the sky to get ready to begin. And I gotta wonder how many Pokemon-shaped balloons this town just has lying around. Like, it's basically the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Like, every group has had different ones. It's very cute that there's enough for most trainers to get a balloon reflecting a Pokemon in their party. Like, Ash got a Pikachu. I think the Volbeat trainer got a Volbeat. I think the Golbat guy got a Golbat. Like, it's very cute. Anyway, now it's time for May to go up there with Beautifly. And James is her opponent, borrowing Dustox for the occasion. And when they start, I did not expect such competence out of James. Truly no one did. He and May, man, they're going for it. I mean, there are two other people here, but let's face it, it's him and May. Despite May's instructions to focus only on the ring, James sort of forces her and the other trainers to engage in battle, and when they do, he has Dustox ride Beautifly's Gust all the way to the goal. Like, he sort of uses their attacks to his advantage, like, gets them all infighting against each other, and then, like, can use their momentum to propel his Pokemon. Like, it's very clever. May is gobsmacked. Ash is personally insulted. And like, fair to them, I'm not sure I trust James either. I definitely don't trust Jesse, who is running some kind of booth claiming to restore Pokemon's energy through a massage. Kind of flashing way back to original season, that is sort of the one where they all visited a massage parlor and Brock got a Vulpix. Like, they've run this scheme before. They've done it better. Case in point, the Wingull, who is their, like, poster child for look how well our massages restore your Pokemon's energy, it looks like a step or two below the Magikarp salesman's fee boss. It's Meowth with a bunch of scotch tape and cardboard wings, and, like, I know they gotta make him a flying Pokemon because that's the clientele, and that's a bit of a stretch, but, like, Team Rocket really phoned in the disguise this time. It took a bit of staring, like, what is that supposed to be, before I figured out it's a Wingull. I am the person who, like, will defend the Superman glasses disguise, because, like, I wear glasses and I don't always recognize myself in photos when I don't have my glasses on. And, like, when I'm wearing my contacts and looking in the mirror, I have this weird, like, almost, like, that's not me until I, like, do my makeup a certain way and, like, after a while be like, oh yeah, I recognize this face now. But, like, little things like that can really make you not look like yourself to yourself, let alone to other people. And most of the people that see Superman up close are not regularly hanging out with Clark Kent, save for Lois. And even then, how many times have you completely not recognized your coworkers outside of work? Like, if Clark has the slightest change of attitude or carriage or dials back his Smallville accent when he's Superman, like, I totally believe he can pass under the radar with most people and even fool our hero Lois for a time. But even so, I do not buy that everyone thinks this Meowth is a normal Wingull, let alone one they want their own Pokemon to emulate. Like, unless they're thinking, wow, that Pokemon looks real good for being involved in one of Kara Liss's, like, fossil combining experiments, imagine what a massage will do for my Pokemon that has not been Frankensteined. Maybe that's the key to Team Rocket's success. Gary's reviving extinct Pokemon, and Akihabara and Giovanni have created Pokemon, and Kara Liss is slapping fossils together like my mom made goulash. People are like, it's rude to question if a Pokemon is real just because it looks a little different, like maybe it was created in a lab, or it's just from Alola. Who am I to decide what's normal? We had a whole movie about a Pokemon's right to exist despite how they were created. Yeah, this Wingull looks a lot like a Meowth, but we're just gonna give it a pass. We don't know what it's been through. Anyway, it's working for Team Rocket now, but shocker, they're not really giving massages. No, remember Jesse's ribbon business? It's gonna be a minute. It's gonna be a minute before they try legitimate entrepreneurship again. They have a net out back. I bet some Pokemon will disappear into it. So wait for that. Anyway, the first round is over. Everyone pulled through, but May. Sorry, girl. We didn't expect James to be such an expert. So Ash goes on to win his semifinal match, too. And then we get Shane versus James. Ah, oh, man. So once upon a time, I took judo lessons as a kid, about junior high-ish. And being a short queen who also flailed wildly when I got too aggressive or enthusiastic, like, remember my story about Capture the Flag? I figured when I went to my first meet, I should not make the first move, and thus immediately put myself off balance, because judo is about using your opponent's momentum against them. So maybe running in aggressively and trying to beat them to the ground while being short and of little mass might not be the best strategy. So I thought I should let them make the first move, use my short queen powers to my advantage, see where their weight is going, and react accordingly. That made sense in my mind. Well, my opponent thought the same thing. So we just stood there and stared at each other in a game of chicken until we were kind of forced and edged on to move by all the officiators so that the match didn't get canceled. That's basically what is happening here with James and Shane. They are like each just waiting each other out and playing defense and waiting for the wind to be just right and psyching each other. And I guess the perfect gust of wind finally does come because the balloon holding the target ring starts to rise and Shane springs into action. Do it! Swablu goes for it. Dustox too. And they're riding on the updraft to get the ring. And all is going well. But then James, who has been watching the clouds, yells at Dustox to stop. Stop now! Swablu keeps going. Shane hasn't called for a stop. What is happening? Why would James stop? Then the clouds part, revealing the sun shining directly into Swablu's eyes as it's going for the ring. Sunblind, it flinches and has to stop for a bit. It can't even see the ring or the balloon, let alone grab it. And now James tells Dustox to go. Tackle Swablu while it's blinded and defenseless. So it does, it gives Swablu a good whack. And then it grabs the ring and makes it all the way to the goal before Swablu regroups. And Dustox wins the round. I'm so sorry, Shane. I know you wanted to win this. But that's not bad for their first time trying, like really making it to the semifinals. And speaking of first time trying, there is still Ash in this competition. And he and James will face each other next. Or so James thinks. His compatriots have finished stealing Pokemon through their massage scam, so they got a net full of poor captured Pokemon, and they gotta leave town before all those trainers start wondering why this massage is taking so long. Like, really, time is of the essence. They gotta go. So Jesse tells Meowth to go get James. But James is kinda busy. He's already in the air in his balloon. The ring balloon has been released. He and Ash have Pokeballs in hand, waiting for the starting bell. And James looks down to see Meowth yelling at him, "Come on, we gotta go!" With flags, because remember Team Rocket has developed that extensive flag Morse code thing? So James whips out his pair of flags to shout back at Meowth, like, "No, I can't leave, I'm on the verge of winning! And none of you can see this because it's an audio medium, but I cannot restrain myself from, like, trying to do the flag motions, it's so dumb, why am I doing this?" So apparently Team Rocket, before they started this whole thing, did not communicate that they all had very separate goals. That Jesse and Meowth want to steal Pokemon, and James wants to be more than a distraction. But anyway, after a very contentious flag argument, James declares that he won't be returning to base because he has to fulfill his destiny as a Pokeringer, and hurls his flag at Meowth, ending the argument. And you know, Meowth, you and Jesse could just leave, and James can catch up when he's done. None of these people in town know you besides the twerps, and none of them know where their base is. In fact, it might actually help your alibi a little bit to be like, all these Pokemon went missing, but James was right here in front of us the whole time. Like I don't know, like, it just gives you a bit of plausible, like, maybe Team Rocket wasn't the ones involved. Anyway, James is going to continue to fight, so Dustox versus Talo. Dustox makes the first move in trying to just, you know, take Talo out with Psybeam, and Talo definitely struggles to endure it. And when it breaks through that Psybeam, though, James's face and little scream, it's just everything I mourn sometimes about, like, losing from Miki Shinichiro's performance of Kojiro, like, in that smooth delivery, is 100% made up by everything Eric Stewart brings, like, just fully committing to James here. Like, that clutch my pearls gasp is life. I love it. Anyway, now Talo's free to wing attack Dustox, and so it does. Wham! Talo goes to grab the ring, but that scrappy little Dustox isn't giving up yet. Like, no kid, you stay in here and you live your dreams. Team Rocket's Pokemon put up with so much every now and then, we've just got to give them a win. And Dustox, thus far, has gotten beat down a lot with very little chance to prove itself. So, like, you go. Anyway, the wind shifts, and James tells Dustox to move away from there. Just before a giant tunnel whirlwind blazes in, Talo only barely dodges. I guess this is tornado country, folks. Like, wow, that really whipped up out of nowhere. And I am not kidding. The announcer says a flash tornado that this town is so known for. This poor town. Luckily, the ring balloon is directly in the eye of the tornado, like, so perfectly. It's barely buffeting, barely moves. Guess the Pokemon will just have to wait until the tornado dies down. James and Dustox are watching the wind, waiting for the perfect moment to kind of find a window and sneak in or wait for it to end. But Ash and Talo, being themselves, are not going to sit around and wait for the weather. So Talo flies directly into the tornado. It is ill-advised to do that, ever, in any context. I saw Twister. And Talo sure struggles, like, but its trainer believes in it. Though how it can hear Ash yelling encouragement over the wind is a mystery to be solved. But full of fighting spirit and its trainer's support, Talo faces down the tornado and evolves. Now it is a Swellow. It is Eye of the Tigering this event. Wind, what wind? It not only powers through the tornado, I think all its spinning ended the tornado. Anyway, it hits the clear sky and grabs that ring and dives for the goal. Dustox isn't giving up yet. James calls for it to use Poison Sting, which hits and does get Swellow to drop the ring for a moment. Both Pokemon are now diving for this falling prize when Ash has this brilliant idea to have Swellow use Wing Attack on the ring, not on Dustox. So Swellow blasts Wing Attack down at the ring, which rockets now through the air and lands on the goalpost. So well aimed as well, Swellow. And it counts as a win for Swellow. Swellow is the one who put that ring on the goalpost, so well done. Sorry, Dustox. You tried your best, and I can tell you were, like, getting into the whole event, so I'm kind of sad for you. Especially when it slams into the pole, like, eesh. It's all great for Ash, and so sad for James, who is really, honestly, just trying to fulfill his destiny out there. And all of it was on the up and up. Like, I don't know why Jesse and Meowth felt the need to interrupt the whole proceedings to announce, hey guys, we stole all your Pokemon. They're right here. Here we are, surrounded by all the people we robbed and dozens of Pokemon trainers with flying Pokemon currently out of their Pokeballs. Like, you guys don't even want to win this one, do you? Just in Meowth do the motto. Meowth takes over James's role. Wobbuffet gets so confused trying to take Meowth's role. Like, the understudy was not ready to get called to the big leagues here. But, like, Ash didn't trust James all along. But he didn't know Team Rocket was actively committing a crime. Now he does. Like, really, guys, you could have just left and let James catch up. It would have been good cover. But no! As it is, Team Rocket wouldn't have been able to escape quickly from the get-go, just from the fact that they put themselves in the center of a wide ring of people who are all mad at them. But James is also, you know, going through an emotional crisis, like sobbing over how he let down his master and all that. So, like, they're not going anywhere in a hurry. It gives Ash and everybody time to mobilize. Swellow's wing attack cuts through the net and releases all the Pokemon, and then Pikachu does what it usually does. Team Rocket goes blasting off after Thunderbolt. Swellow is declared the winner, and Ash is now a new honorary citizen of this town. Hope that doesn't affect how he has to pay taxes. So a fun little episode, a fun chance for everybody, well, I mean, not Brock, but at least Ash and May, to, like, get some training in and a little cross-training, I guess, like trying a slightly different Pokemon discipline and learning new things. And I always love watching Team Rocket, like, do things legitimately, like not committing crimes. So getting to see some of James's passions and things was really fun. I don't think Poke Ringing comes back, but very cool for him. Very, very cool. And, like, anytime we get to see James be competent and, like, not completely a joke is always a treat. And that is one of the things that, again, I really love about Miki Shinichiro. And how he performs James, because he kind of has, like, still a fun aspect to James, but, like, just kind of a less campy delivery, so that when James has a serious moment where he is trying to be threatening, or he is having an emotional moment, because James has rather a lot of emotional moments, or, like, these moments where he's truly enthusiastic about something and not a criminal, it really hits in a totally different way. But, like, this was also a good episode for Eric Stewart's portrayal because, like, again, he plays a much more over-the-top and campy James. And this is a time for James to just show off. Like, be wild and over-the-top and, like, completely himself. He doesn't have Meowth over his shoulder being like, you have to be like this or we have to be evil. Just like, I want to enter a Poke Ringing tournament because it's my destiny and I am gonna win and I'm gonna banter with May and use her actual name. And it's like, whoa. I love seeing James be himself and, like, other pursuits outside of Team Rocket. I think, like, of the three of them, Jesse, James, and Meowth, I think James gets the least out of being in Team Rocket. He would be equally happy in a bowling league. Like, I could theorize about, like, what drew him to Team Rocket specifically. Like, we all saw the one Pokemon Chronicles episodes where they all got thrown together, basically. But it's like, what put James on the path of being like, those guys, I'm gonna knock on their door and turn in an application, or however you join the mob. But, like, what James gets out of being in Team Rocket and associating with Jesse, James, and Meowth, which is where he's happiest, like, he wouldn't be happy with any other team. What he gets out of this could be fulfilled by starting a book club, basically. if Jesse and Meowth ever wanted to, like, quit Team Rocket for good, James would go along with them with no compulsions, whereas if James ever wanted to stop doing Team Rockety things, even for a 30-minute episode, Jesse and Meowth would drag him right back in. So it's just always interesting to watch James get to kind of break out and be his own person and be confident and all the things. I love this for him. Good, and I love this for Dustox. Anyway, that has been today's episode. That's Just Swellow, and it was Just Swellow. You can contact this podcast at pcappypodcast@gmail.com or leave a review or a rating wherever you are listening to this fine podcast. And please like and subscribe wherever you did find this podcast. I'd appreciate it very much because I enjoy doing this, so I hope somebody's getting some enjoyment out of this, too. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. Until next time, this has been Pikappy Podcast. Best wishes, and gotta catch them all. Pikachu, 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 Pikachu.
Pikachu. Pikachu. Pikachu. Pikachu.